Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your
greetings and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 28th. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing all right. I'm kind of in the same state I was on Sunday or Monday. I'm tired, playing too much golf, and
it's world's smallest violin. Poor you. Poor you. Playing too much golf.
I'm all over the California coast.
You're traveling. Oh, California. Yeah. Such a cross to bear.
The biggest thing is that I'm getting blowback all over the place. People are demanding an apology from you. They're coming to me asking for an apology from you about your drive-by of Mark Leishman when he won. You know, your guy wins a tournament.
Why is it a drive-by?
You're driving as Matt Malika put, you're driving 88 down the freeway, 85 miles an hour, just spraying bullets at Mark Leishman.
What are you talking about? I got the same thing. He says it was a Kuchar vibes, Ricky comparison, uncalled for, preposterous, erroneous, and unacceptable. On behalf of the Aussie contingent, I expect an unreserved apology. Kuchar's a lofty goal. I mean, the guy's made $50 million. He's won 9 times. He's got the gold standard.
They both had close calls in the Open.
A ton of major close calls. I'm not suggesting their games are similar or their personalities are similar.
They both batted around.
Tipping practices are similar. I'm not suggesting, this is not a, I think it's a pretty high standard of a career resume. Batted around.
Nobody can see it, but I'm wearing my President's Cup vest. And, they've probably played on roughly about the same amount of President's Cups teams,
That's a good one, too. They're just kind of there. They're always there. They're always maybe in the top 10 at a major. You can count on them. It wasn't a drive-by. It was a compliment. I understand Kuchar's not held in the highest regard by many listeners. But setting that aside... batted around. My favorite phrase. He bats around. That's pretty good.
The PGA Tour, if they had their qualms, I think Matt Kuchar would be a borderline Hall of Famer. Obviously.
That's definitely not what qualms means. Definitely not. If they had their druthers.
That's the word I was looking for.
They would make him a Hall of Famer. You're right. Hey, can we go? You want to talk about Kuchar and Leish still, or do you want to move on?
I don't care. We could talk about anything you want.
We're coming in pretty blind on this one. You're on the road. I'm squeezing this in a few minutes that I have. There's usually rarely an itinerary, but this is especially thin.
This is about the thinnest week. This was not meant to be a drive-by of the Valspar. This is not exactly a copious week of content. You look at the tournament slate, and it's one of those weeks where...
We might have a great show then. I mean, this is where we find where we excel. I got to start, though, dipping into our roots a little bit. Birthday shout-outs.
Oh, God.
I'm told it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Andy. Long-time listener. Long-time podcaster. We got to say happy birthday to the Eggman. How old are you? Are you allowed to say? Oh.
Rough one.
35. Why is it a rough one?
It's just I'm like an old man now.
I got 38 in a couple
days.
I can't even
hang on to loose interpretation of early. Like last year, I was like, I'm middle 30s. And somebody's like, I don't know. You could still pull off young or early 30s. I'm like, no, I can't. And this is official. You're middle 30s. It sucks. It's I'm old.
What? 30s Will are your best.
Will Nice doesn't know what Ace Ventura Pet Detective is. You know, I've got finding out signs of age all the time. Every turn I make, yeah. I figure out I'm old. I got a terrible haircut the other day by like a person that usually cuts my hair. I couldn't get him on a short notice, so I had a 23-year-old cut my hair and give me a hairstyle that I ridiculous, you know. And I'm like, I'm just an old man that got a bad haircut because I'm not with the times anymore. It sucks. It's terrible. I hate birthdays.
Oh, you do. That's right. You hate birthday shout outs. I didn't know you actually hate birthdays. Well, the good news for you, and you do not need to greet this with any sort of comment or response, but you have such a great, beautiful birthday present. You get to play Torrey Pines on your birthday as a part of US Open Media Day, which I know will just sing, make your heart sing, and you'll enjoy it all the way around.
One of my favorite courses where everything makes sense. The architect of note really did a number.
It's so enjoy that little
strategic masterpiece. It is beautiful though. I woke up this morning. I've been up early. I have to go shoot stuff at sunrise. Then I'm out all day doing stuff.
Yeah.
But I was up this morning. My phone is broken. It completely smashed.
That thing to happen on the road when you're out and about.
Yeah, I can't. It's unusable. I can't use it. So I had to set the hotel alarm clock, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to get up and shoot photos just because of, you know,
it's Torrey Pines.
Yeah, but
don't put the words in your mouth.
Yeah. And the alarm goes off, and then the thing won't shut off. I had to unplug it.
The phone?
No, the alarm clock. The
hotel
alarm.
On the
unplugged it, and it kept going off. It was unbelievable.
Battery.
I don't know. And then my phone.
Backup battery, in case it
then
was
my
power
phone. I can't see the screen of my phone, and I can't use it. And the phone, I have like a weekday alarm. It starts going off.
Uh-huh.
It was just an utter disaster. So I had to get up. I had to go out there. And I'm just...
Hey, not to get too much into the travels of Andy, but like how was the media day? We should disclose you're doing US Open Women's and Men's Open Media Day, Olympic and Torrey. I've done a few of these media days. They're usually pretty fun. I don't know if those are two of the courses I would have sought out, but how's it been? A lot of content? Do you go out, see how the burger dog was made? Were you doing some, can you break 100 from the back tees kind of things that we often see out there? But what was the content like situation?
It was a delightful day yesterday at Olympic Club. It's got some really cool stuff. It's got some really awful stuff out there.
Hey, can I make an observation on that front? As a very rudimentary eye, I think I know a little bit more about architecture in the last 5 years, thanks to your acquaintance mostly. But looking at some of the pictures coming out, as someone who just rudimentary eye, like just the mowing lines don't seem to make sense sometimes for me. Like, you know, for me, like the gold standard for that is like number one at Riviera, where like someone who just doesn't know a lot about architecture looks and like that doesn't really seem to make sense to me. Like, why is it just like this narrow strip in the middle of this field? I felt like I saw a few of those photos coming out of Olympic. All right, continue. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I would say, you know, I love the USGA. I love a lot of things they do, but I would say that they don't excel at mowing lines. They don't seem to really understand mowing lines.
Okay.
It was a delightful day. I got to play with me and Will. Got to play with Big Randy and Tron from No Laying Up.
It was just
a fun day, you know, lots of laughs.
That's great.
Randy and I were dissecting, you know, one of the holes I found most offensive. He really loved, you know, he said the architect's asking you a very specific question and want to see if you can answer it, you know, and it was a fun day. So
it was good.
It was like anything, you know. I talk a ton about golf architecture and you know, I have some strong opinions on courses like Torrey, but when you're playing with great company, like that's the thing about golf. It's so great when you play with like friends so it was a good day out there. I had some fun on the Instagram page, you know, doing some boomerangs. They hit these little things.
Too many.
Well,
people are like, what did I just watch on the Shotgun Start Instagram? You're dicking around out there.
Well, they had these things. They were, you know, if you keep the pin in or to keep the ball out of the bottom of the cup, but they made it like it was like a toilet bowl. You know, the ball, it was so fun when you'd hit a putt that didn't go dead center. Well, you hit it dead center, it might pop out, but then if you hit it on the edges, it rolls around like a toilet ball. A toilet bowl. For a while, it was an enjoyable day. But yeah, there's some really good stuff out at Olympic. Torrey, you know, it's beautiful. Beautiful place.
That. Yeah. And of course, this does not preclude two great championships, which we are eager to watch and consume. I'm excited. I think Shackelford had an interesting point about a sense of place at Wilshire, like beyond the course. Obviously, the course has its own merits, but like the background, the where you are in the middle of the city, and you certainly get a little bit of that at Olympic, right? On these slopes and not right in the heart of the city, but it's in a metropolitan area. So
about the Burger Dogs.
Okay. What about them?
I was slightly disappointed with the fixins. You know, I said I wanted some peppers, and they looked at me like I was crazy. They found some jalapenos.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have any avocado. You know, this is... Oh,
I thought it was California. What the hell?
Well, you know, the beauty of a burger dog is the vehicle method of the hot dog bun. You know, it's, I believe a burger dog is superior to a cheeseburger because you eat a cheeseburger, all of the toppings are coming out the back and the front. So if you're going to have a topping-laden burger, it's better in the burger dog, and they were very lacking on toppings. You know, they just had your like kind of relish pickles, you know, ketchup, mustard, onions. It's you got to have copious amounts of toppings. I want to have, but I mean, the actual burger
you got a
dog
vessel that can
was delicious.
It.
Yes, that's the whole benefit of the burger dog is
right.
And you know, my wife thinks I'm crazy, but I think the burger dog is superior to the burger because of the vessel, the vehicle in which you're consuming it allows for great toppings.
How were the jalapenos?
And they don't go anywhere. It was good. One bite got me. It was so hot. But outside of that, it was delicious.
Last couple of years of my life, I've taken to putting jalapenos on everything. Fresh cut. Like, they cost nothing, right? I mean, they're like 5 cents. My wife just gets dozens of them. They're just, I put them on everything. And every time I think I'm feeling good about myself, I might be smart or have the world figured out, I get jalapeno residue in my eyes. Like, rub my eyes. Like, this happens like once a week, once a month. And I realize, humbles me really quick that I'm a huge idiot. That's become a regular practice in my life. But I'm glad they worked out on your burger dog. I put them on everything now. All right. Should we move on to our schedule for the week?
Schedule for the week.
As you said, the much ballyhooed Valspar Championship, you gave that a real good sell at the top.
I like the Valspar.
The Copperhead, Innisbrook. You know, it's one of its,
the
I think it's one
pit.
Of its strongest fields ever. I think they have 10 of the top 30 in the world. Let's get to our schedule. PGA Tour Valspar Championship at the Innisbrook Resort, the Copperhead. Look out for the snakes out there, whether they're sentient or otherwise. Par 71, 7,300 yards, designed by Larry Packard in 1974. $6.9 million purse. $6.9 million purse. Your defending champ is Paul Casey from 2 years ago. He's a two-time
defending
champ. Going for the Triple Crown here in 2021.
Nicest guy in golf.
Phoniest guy. He beat Louis Oosthuizen and Jason Kokrak 2 years ago. Notables, Casey, Dustin Johnson is playing, Justin Thomas, Phil is playing, Patrick Reed, Victor Hovland, Scotty Scheffler, Tyrrell Hatton, Cameron, don't call me Cam Champ, Rory Sabatini is notable, Chase Koepka, John Augenstein. How does he always make it? Whoever writes these loves John Augenstein. Austin Cook, short boy, Emiliano Grillo, Sam Burns and Ted Potter Jr. is making TPJ. The trip over from Ocala, and he is notable by these by this document. All right, that's your regular schedule, 2 to 6 on Thursday, Friday, and you know your split with Golf Channel, CBS on the weekend. So, anything you want to talk about, three things to watch, or what do you want to do here?
I got three things to watch, but I was a little disappointed that you didn't preface JT with Thirst Bucket of the Week, Justin Thomas.
Recent Thirst Bucket. I did a little cobbling together some of his thirst attempts. He's lapping up in the dog bowl. Tom Brady one just executed to perfection. Find my TB12 hat. Oh, it's the only one I found. You know, Tommy comes over the top with them.
I'm sure he had trouble finding his Titleist hat around, laying around. I'm sure he's short on him.
The people seem to enjoy This Week in Pip, the Thirst Bucket of the Week award. So we might have to keep it up. We might have to keep our eyes up for all this social content out there. Also, as several people noted, maybe less, I don't know, just felt unfortunate, was Tiger's post on his walking boat with his pup. Puppy is catnip. That's kind of a mixed metaphor, but all dog content is sort of pops on social media. Was that a Pip attempt? Tiger and his walking boot. I mean, that would be unfortunate, but I mean, he should just get the Pip number one every time, right?
I don't know if he needs to do much to get the Pip,
right?
You know?
That's true. That's true.
Man, Neil Lancaster is playing in the PGA, the club pro thing. Do you know that?
No. No.
He's right in the Zach Shea Johnson zone.
What a natural segue from Tiger's social media, Neil Lancaster.
Sorry, I was just scanning names. But here are the three things for the Valspar. You ready for them?
Yeah.
Not your average golf course. Not your average Florida golf course. We got some elevation. We got some, you know, movement in the fairways. So it plays different. It's a decent golf course. It's not terrible, not great, you know.
No longer on the Florida swing. Which, you know, this might have worked out.
The Carolinas.
Did you see this? Should we tell them? The tour is trying to, as writing articles, it tried to pump some notion of the Carolina swing because there are four events in the Carolinas over like a 10-week period, but never consecutively. I mean, I guess what would it be? Harbortown, Kiawa, Congaree, and next week, Charlotte. The Carolina swing. That's not a swing. If they play over, you know, 2 months and it's never consecutively. Anyways, so this is a standalone, no longer part of the Florida swing, the Valspar. But different kind of
course. I have a question. Why is it always a swing? We've got the West Coast swing, the Florida swing. Can't you use a synonym of swing every once in a while? Change up the wording?
Stretch.
Like, you know, the California oscillation.
Okay. Yeah, we could. You could get more creative with it.
The Carolina seesaw, the Carolina yo-yo.
I mean, it just doesn't work that way. The four events over 10 weeks doesn't make it anything. It's just sort of events in the state over a couple months. So, all right. What else do you have to watch?
Second one, best guy in golf, Paul Casey, going for a three-peat.
Okay, you're just trying to stir the pot here. I see what you're doing.
You know, he's beaten some good players. He's beaten Usti, Boy and Brown, your guy, Kokrak.
The Kokrak heads, yeah.
Yeah, he's beat Tiger, right?
Yeah, but he should be noted, not kind of in the belly of the beast. He was out a couple hours before Tiger and posted whatever, 63. He didn't stare him down.
Pat Reed, this was, you know, when Corey Connors got booed. And this was pre, you know, Corey Connors CT machine. He was getting booed.
Nearly caused an international incident. I think they had to send a diplomatic, you know, envoy to Canada after that from D.C.
Remember that Pat Reed? I'll never forget that Pat Reed putt that rolled back to his feet. Yeah, it was like one of 18. My favorites. So it was like one of the moments in golf where I was like, jumped out of my chair cheering, like so happy that the ball was rolling back to his feet.
This was also where I think he took up with Ledbetter 2 years ago now. He's got a history here at Valspar, Copperhead.
Then my third thing, I can't remember. I had these all planned out in my head. I forgot to write them down.
Oh, okay. The alarm clock probably just threw you off talking about your alarm clock that wouldn't go off.
They do a good job. They do a good job with sponsors exemptions, as noted by John Augustine in the. Yep.
They always have that college. They have the Valspar Collegiate, right? The player gets in. They of course, infamously, I think Lee McCoy did well here when he was an amateur. Had to turn down six figures at a top, I'm going to say top 10 placement. And then kind of bitched and moaned about not getting another exemption a year or two later because of some local favoritism.
Look where Lee McCoy is these days.
Yeah. We have three COVID.
Lee McCoy had a real fall from grace.
Well, it's not over yet for old Lee. We could see him out there again. You never know. Which transitions nicely to Michael Vasacki, I think. Mm-hmm. Monday qualifier. Hey, he's probably not PIP eligible, but the views racked up on that video are soaring. And I think the larger point here is this PIP, it's not just social media play. They're just giving money. It's a defense fund, right? They're giving money to guys they don't want to leave, and probably the right guys will end up getting it, the rainmakers. But the process, the metrics of these socials, is what we're having fun with. And so much of it is going to be inauthentic, just garbage.
Schmutz. Gobbledygook.
Yeah. And here's one that seems to be authentic, seems to tell a story, seems to tell 1,000 words in a minute of this guy's travails and journey. And of course, people respond to it. They respond to authenticity. They respond to, a real story as opposed to just, hey, here's my Cavs taking a swing on the driving range, or here's my Tom Brady hat, or here's a Stankonia Photoshop. We heard from a few people about Michael Vasacki who might have experience with them. It sounds like, the whole junior golf, the pratfalls of junior golf, and the parents there, and just maybe thinking their kids the next Tiger, and putting pressure on them. And it seems like he and his dad really shared a moment, right? They probably, this is not the critique of anyone, but lived and learned, and made their way through golf and all the losses and heartbreaks and setbacks and reality checks. And I thought it was awesome to see that moment between Vasacki and his dad.
Well, I think, anybody that's played tournament golf, you get kicked in the face almost every time. You never, ever, it seems like success is so limited. It's obviously you can be happy about T10s, but really achieving stuff, and especially with qualifiers, trying to qualify, whether it be a USGA event or a PGA Tour event or a Korn Ferry Tour event, the majority of times you fail. And for him, it was 7 years of failure. I mean, think about how many tries. And
you could say you played on the PGA Tour. No matter what happens, you can say you played a PGA Tour event, right? I mean, that is an accomplishment in and of itself.
And it's just these 1% moments that you have to really soak in. And it was cool to see somebody go through it, because it's just, the competitive golf, especially at the professional level, it's so tough, and there's so much failure getting through, making a long putt. And I mean, the moment he made that, he obviously knew, and I love the reaction of his playing partners who knew how big of a deal it was for him. Sure. And it seems like a really good guy from all accounts. One question I had for you with the PIP, do you think Vasacki ranks higher in the PIP standings than PGA Tour member Tim Wilkinson now?
I mean, where are the standings? What do they even mean? The Meltwater mentions? Is that what we're getting at here? Or the MVP index? Probably. I don't know anything about Tim Wilkinson. I think someone sent us that he wears a huge hat. He has a Ches Reavie type hat that's way too big for his head. I think that's all I know about Wilkinson, someone sent us. But
I think he's a Kiwi, I think.
I would hazard a guess that he's higher. If there are such a thing for PIP standings, they go that deep down the list, that he is higher, Vasacki. So, elsewhere at Valspar, we have three COVID WDs, which is coming back, I guess. I don't know. The septic tank, Sepp Straka out, Will Gordon, and Bryce Garnett. With Gordon, it kind of, These events, which aren't always patronized by the, you know, top of the top, right? All the top 100, top 125, this kind of in-between major stretch. Guys like Garnett and Gordon, certainly the septic tank, you want to get starts. You want to get those Courier Cup points. So that's an unfortunate break for them. You have anything else on the Valspar? It's an interesting, I like watching the Valspar. I think it's always kind of gotten a tough break on the schedule. Obviously had a revolving door of title sponsors there for a while, but you know, the trophy is that paint brushstroke the that's immortalized, and
they got the paint cans for the T markers.
Yeah.
I got my pick is I'm taking Heartbreak Kid. He's got the FedEx hacks.
Who's
FedEx hacks? That's good. FedEx hacks.
Oosties. Light bulb went off. I could see it. FedEx hacks. Oostie was playing in Ocala again. He's in horse country again on Monday, right after the heartbreak in New Orleans. He's doing some charity thing for the, I don't know, for the ponies or what it was for. But
he knew there were tractors there that he could get on.
I wonder if he shared a car over with Ted Potter from Ocala. Maybe they drove together. What did they talk about? So, all right, let's move on. Schedule for the week. Next, on the LPGA, we have the HSBC Women's World Championship. Thursday through Sunday at Sentosa Golf Course or Golf Club in Singapore. This is where I would say where it started to go wrong for Jordan Spieth when his agents thought he should go play this event because they had some sort of, I don't know, commercial interest, obviously, in Sentosa. But par 72, 6,700 yards, redesigned by Andrew Johnston and Matt Swanson in 2016. Don't even say who designed it originally, but that was 2016 redesign. Purse, $1.6 million. Defending champ is Sun Hung Park from 2019. Notables, Sun Hung Park, Lydia Ko, Jin Young Ko, Imbi Park, Danielle Kane, Shanshan Fen, Minji Lee, Hinako Shibuno, Patty Tavatanakit, Sophia Popoff, and Brittany Altomare. It's a notable. That's more. All right. This is Wednesday through Saturday. Last call golf. I don't know what we want to call this. One too many golf. What was the name of that bar in Chicago? Slippery Slope Golf.
Slippery Maybe Slope. That's,
yeah. This is 10:30 to 3:30 Eastern overnight from Singapore. So they're hopping across the Pacific from Wilshire to Singapore. That will be your LPGA. Kind of a nice little, you know, I don't know. If you're up in all hours of the night, put that on. On the PGA Tour Champions, we have the Insperity Invitational at the Woodlands. The is that where Reed lives now? Is that the Reed Fortress? I thought he lived in the Woodlands. Maybe not.
I think he does live in the Woodlands.
Right? Is Blue Jack National in the Woodlands? I don't know.
No, that's in Conroe.
Okay. All right. Par 72 at the Woodlands CC, 7,100 yards, designed by Robert Von Hagee.
Robert Von Hogg.
Hogg and Bruce Hogg. Devlin in 1978. Purse is $2.25 million. So the Champions Tour is playing for $750,000 more than the LPGA. Defending champ.
And the LPGA has to travel to Thailand to play.
Singapore. Defending champ is the erstwhile, the anchorman, the erstwhile Scott McCarron.
He's in a dark place. Dark place.
One 2019, so 2 year break for that one over Scott Parel. Notables. I can't wait to read these. I've not checked on. See who we got. Ernie Els, Jim Furyk, Bernard Lawner, Retief Goosen, DL3, Mike Weir. These are some great names. Fun to watch. Vijay Singh, John Daly, probably in a cart, I would hazard a guess. Marco Mira, Colin Montgomery, Jose Maria Olathabal, Sandy Lyle, Billy Playfair, Tom Kite, Dickie Pride, Corey Pavin, Woozy, and Wes Short Jr. I see a trend. He just wrote Pavin, Woozy, and Wes Short in a row. I think they're trying to tell us something right there. The gritty little Bruin, little Woozy, Tom Thumb, and Wes Short. Is Wes Short even short? Do we even know that he is?
He's a junior, too.
He's a junior. Well, so that is Friday, you know, whatever. It's noon to 2 and then 3 to 6 on Golf Channel.
Hey, who'd you take for Valspar?
Oh, I don't think I listed. Who'd you take again?
Usti.
I'm going to take Corey Connors.
CT Machine. I knew you were going to take CT Machine.
It was him or Kokrak. It was one or the other. I'm going with Corey Connors, which I don't even know who I've taken this year. I got to keep track of that. Check in.
Hey, if you've taken Corey Connors, then you get Kokrak.
Okay. All right. I like that. All right, on the European Tour, this is the Tenerife Open, Thursday through Sunday. Golf Costa, I don't know, I can't pronounce, Tenerife, Spain. Par 71, 6,800 yards. Another sub 7,000-yard course, a back-to-back after last week's Island Golf. Designed by Pepe Gancedo in 1998. Purse is 1.5 million euros. It's an inaugural event. Notables. Garrick Higo, Eddie Pepperell, Lucas Beauregard, a.k.a. Joe Namath, Joost Luton, Thorbjorn, the Piss Bear, Tom McKibben, who's, that's the Northern Irish kid. Like, I think he's from Hollywood, from Rory's place, and they've got, you know, I don't know, hyped a little bit. Tom McKibben, Andrew Johnston, otherwise known as Beef, Ross Fisher, David Horsey. Who are these? Who are they putting? Maverick Antcliffe, just a fabulous name. Horsey and Antcliffe. John Catlin. Oh, this is an animal. This is an animal collective. Horsey, Antcliffe, Catlin. Are you noticing this? We've got Equine, Ants, Catlin, Kurt Kitayama, Carlos Pigam. There's all sorts of animals in this field. Carlos Pigam, Renato Parator, and Toby Tree, also playing in Tenerife. This is Coffee Golf, 9 to 1:30, 9 to noon. You know, I posted some photos. That is pretty brilliant. Pigs, cats, ants, horses, fish, Ross Fisher, Beef Johnston. Guy went out of his way. Getting creative. I almost wasn't able to decipher that. I'm sure listeners would.
I love this person's ability to analyze a field list and really pull the common threads. It's a skill.
So getting some intel from this, I mean, Ben Coley shared a tweet about the last time they played here. It was the lowest 36 hole cut in European Tour history. It was 6 under was the cut. There was one guy had 4 eagles. They've converted a par 5 into a par 4 there. Mikko Ilonen had 4 eagles in a single round. The first round saw 133 players below par, the most in a single day on the European Tour. 137 players were under par at the midpoint. So this could be ripe for the. I think Higo set the scoring record relative to par last week on Gran Canaria, and it seems like we'll have a little bit more of that. It's got volcanic black sand in some of the bunkers and all around the course. Apparently, in 03, Seve made birdie off the top of a wall here, which may be our flashback Friday. I got to look into that. So it's got a little bit. I don't think they've played it there since 03 when all these records went down. Just expect a lot of birdies, a lot of eagles. Kenneth Ferry, by the way.
Kenneth Ferry from
won it last time they won it. 03. Yeah. Kenny Ferry.
06.
Played alongside Phil. Yeah. Some of those hideous attire you'll ever see in the final round of the final group.
In the mix, just despondent, slamming clubs.
While Phil tries to steer it home and then blows up on the 18th. So apparently the greens are just ridiculous. I saw European Tour with Sharon's like humps and bumps and steep grades. Dodo Molinari was putting on one. More gutter problems, I guess, streets with the curbs or gutters running down the middle of the third hole. So it said, allegedly, if you play the one gutter, the one road, it could take the ball pin high or off into the Atlantic. Depends. Sounds like a real kind of tipping point there. So
I love it. I might actually tune in.
Terraced fairways, ridiculous greens. And, you know, probably a lot of eagle chances. So that's all I got for schedule for the week. Other events, you know, the Huntsville Championship at the Corn Ferry Tour at the Ledges in Huntsville, Ledges Golf Club. That's all I got.
We can't watch TV. That.
Yeah, we can't watch anything.
And we got the PGA
Oh, Club Pro. Ongoing.
Omar is, you know, doing Omar things. I want to shout out a friend of the program, friend of the pod, Brad Barrick in fourth place. Brad played at Indiana, played with, you know, many will remember, Boom Baby, Jeff Overton, was a teammate of Jeff Overton, tried to kick it around the mini tours for a number of years, now is a teaching pro at Corica Park in California.
Cool.
His wife has moved out there, and he teaches mostly like you know, really high performance juniors there, and he's playing great. T4, would love to see him in it. You know, he's a guy that tried to play golf for a long time as a pro, and it's kind of neat when you think about like him. You know, he goes starts teaching, and this is how he gets into a major championship. You know.
Yep. Yep, a lot of the usual names that we're used to, you know.
Also, Jim Troy, T10, okay. Owner of one of the great par 3 courses in the country, Ziegfeld Troy. It's right about 10 minutes from my house. Everybody wants to talk about how this short course revival. This family has owned one of the best short courses in the country forever.
Is that like a play on Siegfried and Roy? Is that why they call it that?
No, I don't think so.
That's just their names.
Yeah. They have a local tournament a couple years ago. It's all amateurs. I mean, the longest hole out there is like 120 yards. And a 17-year-old girl beat all the guys. It's
awesome.
Neat. It's really fun. If you're in Chicago, definitely worth like, especially if you have kids, like awesome. Awesome place. Like they have some really neat greens out there. You should go check it out. And if you're in Chicago and you have like an hour and a half to kill and you have your clubs and you're somewhere in the west suburbs, go check it out.
Okay. There's a very recommendation for some small corner.
I think it's
of the world
like $7.
Awesome. Very good. Very good. I mean, the Omar brings a touch of, I don't know, headline making to this event, but I just like to say We've made this comment many times on this podcast. Like the PGA, like the club pros, the guys who are actually in the weeds, the rank and file, not the ones who show up every year at the PGA Championship looking for headlines, you know, not the executive suite. Like I feel like they might be the most important people in the game in the United States. I think they actually are like sort of critical caretakers of whether this makes it or not.
Superintendents
too. Yeah. I guess you just see so much grow the game bullshit thrown around of like these, you know, Fortnite 10 or whatever it is. I don't want to go into that well again, but like the people that actually matter are sort of unheralded and not the subject of these thirsty programs and social
like
media plays and things like that. Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, Omar Rusty probably doesn't fall into that bucket, but looks like he's maybe on his way to Kiowa. So, all right. Anything else? I got no news. We're trying to race this one out.
Yeah, that's it. And anybody, I don't know if I'm going to get this up in the morning. If I do, if we missed anything, just know we recorded.
We recorded early Tuesday. Happy birthday.
Oh,
enjoy your loop around Torrey Pines. Everyone enjoy your Tuesday afternoons if you're listening to this then. If we got it up then, enjoy your Wednesdays. We'll be back Friday.